Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about humanity. I think it's an important topic because this is what we are. We're humans. And the more we know about ourselves, the more we will understand about God. This is a humbling topic because you're going to find out that you're made of soil, mud. I think the Greek word there, Dan, is telos, P-E-L-O-S. Like when God is the potter, we're the clay. Isn't that interesting in Romans 9?
Yeah, and it's interesting in first, and we read last time Genesis 2 when it says God formed man as dust of the ground. In the Companion Bible margin, it says formed as a potter.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that was in the Companion Bible. Cool.
Yeah,
well,
the Companion
that goes
Bible,
right along.
For those who don't know, I mean, we're reading from the Concordant Version. A lot of this stuff we're talking about is fixed in the margin of the Companion Bible. For instance, is this a good time to tell a story about my history as a pastor?
Tell us a story, Dan.
I'll tell you a story. You know, this subject of soul changed my life. I used to believe in eternal conscious torment. I used to be up nights sweating. I actually believed it, so I was affected by it. I ain't like the modern Christian who believes in hell but never talks about it because they're so callous to the doctrine.
Yeah.
I actually believed it. But what woke me up, I read an article by a man named Charles Welch, and he went through all 857 references to the word soul, and he pointed out that in the scriptures, the soul is never connected with immortality, and in this pamphlet, he went through all the modern beliefs regarding what is a soul, and
mm-hmm.
just destroyed them by showing every reference to the word soul. And when I started seeing this, that the dead are dead, and the hope is resurrection, I started teaching this in my church. And when
How'd that
I was
go
pastor,
over? Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I did. I decided that I was gonna ease the congregation into this slowly because I knew a lot of these people believed in hell. And then to not believe in hell in my background is akin to being a murderer.
Of course.
And, it's really bad. Well, so what I did was on a midweek Bible study, I used to have this giant whiteboard. One of the members of the congregation made it for me because I used to love to write on the board as I talked. And so I went around the room. There were around 12 or 15 people on the midweek Bible study, and I said, we're going to take up a study on what is the soul. And I said, I want everyone in this table to give me a definition. We're going to write the definitions down, and I'm going to put them on this big whiteboard.
Yeah.
So I went around the room and I asked everyone, what is a soul? One person says it's the non-corporeal part of man. I don't know what that meant. I think it's the part of man that always survives death, right?
Yeah.
Another definition was it's that which distinguishes from the animals. And then on and on, everyone gave their definition. And what was unique about it is these Orthodox people studying the Bible and they've been in church their whole lives never once quoted scripture on it. So I said, all right, now that I got all your definitions, we're just going to take the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and we're going to look up every time the word soul appears and see if our definitions match. And so what I did was I said, all right, the very first time the word soul comes in the scriptures is in Genesis 1, verse 20. And I think everyone listening should turn there. Genesis 1, verse 20, and here's what it says. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And the reason is because truth is hidden. In Genesis 1, verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. It wasn't until I read that Welch tract, and then I got a Companion Bible, that I read this in the margin of the Companion Bible under the word, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. And under the word life, Bollinger says, life equals soul, Hebrew word nephesh. See Appendix 13. And then in his appendix, Bollinger says, here are the lists of all the words for soul and how many different ways they're translated. So you, the reader, can determine for yourself the meaning of this word apart from theology. And so I looked at Genesis 1:20, And I said, the first time we ever see soul in the Bible is connected with animals, sea creatures. God says they're living souls. And so what did I do? I went over to the whiteboard and I crossed out the first definition that somebody gave in our class, the part that distinguishes us from animals. No. Mm-hmm. Animals and man are both souls.
Right.
And it's interesting, when you go throughout the scriptures, and just in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, when you look at the word soul, every time we went through each reference, we crossed out every definition that people came up with for the definition of soul. And at the end of that Bible study, people were pissed.
You're kidding. They were mad at, they were mad
they
at you.
They were pissed. And they said, well, what do you mean? We're just animals. And I said, wait a minute. Instead of allowing the truth of God to settle, they were mad that their human definitions and beliefs were just knocked down by the living words of the living God. They wanted their tradition more than Scripture. They were willing to reinterpret God's definitions to maintain the theology they loved and held so dear.
And then when I went on to show how
this word soul was translated so many different ways, they just got madder and madder. This doctrine makes religious people angry, because when they realize what a soul is, it makes them dependent on God. The teaching of the natural immortality of the soul is the lie of Satan. Satan's first lie was, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall be as gods. And Christians want to be immortal apart from the gift of God. And that's what this teaching of the immortality of the soul has done. This is what happens when you take this word out of its context and apply foreign meanings to it. It denies the work of Jesus Christ and the hope of resurrection, throws all that stuff out, and it carries with it a host of errors, purgatory, eternal conscious torment, and most importantly, the denial of the resurrection. But that was my first experience in church trying to teach this stuff.
Geez, that tells me that the originator of the doctrine of the immortality of the soul is Satan.
I am in wholehearted agreement with you. I think it's one of his tools. I think Satan has three tools. Number one, deny the deity of God, the godness of God, as it were. Number two, a Trinity, teaching the Trinity. And number three, teaching false theology regarding the nature of man. That's all he needs.
Yeah, he's got to include death into that, because he's got to warp our understanding of death, because we find out from Paul that the critical teaching, one of the foundation blocks of our evangel, the grace of God, is Christ died for our sins. So if the death of Christ is critical, Satan, anticipating this, you know, fouled the waters at the forefront of Revelation, Genesis, you know, chapter 2 or 3, whatever it was, early on. It's like, wow, it was so important to him to foul the well that he lied. It was his first lie, you shall not surely die.
And I'm just turning in my scriptures here. I have a copy of the Companion Bible. And if you don't have a copy of the Concordant Version, get one. And if you don't have a copy of the Companion Bible, get one. You have to have these things, because it's going to show you what is going on here, and how these words have been really screwed up. And it's the appendix, I think it's appendix 12. I'm flipping in the back in the Companion Bible. Here it is. It's appendix 13, the use of nephesh in the Old Testament. The word nephesh
occurs, translated soul, yeah.
That's right. And he says it occurs 754 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And Bollinger says, I'm giving you a complete list here, a complete list. And he does it right here in Appendix 13.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Sheridan has given you a charge. He's given you a charge to get the Concordant Literal New Testament. He's given you a charge to get Dr. Bollinger's Companion Bible. And I know where you can get this stuff. Go to www.studyshelf.com. They even have a separate edition of just the appendices. Or is it the appendices? Whatever it is, Yeah. Let me just say this. Yeah, go to www.studyshelf.com. Yes. What were you going to say now?
What he
trying to close it, though, dude. We're running out of time.
All right, well, I'll close it with this. Appendix 13, the use of the word soul. He goes, the usage of the word nephesh by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God is the only guide to the true understanding of it.
Well stated, my friend.
There you go.
Well stated. You can get the Concordant Version and just a volume of the appendixes in Bullinger's Companion Bible at studyshelf.com. In the meantime, we are going to be back tomorrow, and let's talk about more of this humiliation of being a lump of clay. What do you say?
That sounds good. And if you buy those now, if you act now, Martin will throw in a free prayer cloth that he personally blessed, which will heal you of all your diseases.
I have blessed the prayer cloth right now. Sorry, Freudian slip. We'll see you tomorrow.